نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد زي مجلس for those who are in اعتكاف others by the way inshallah they will benefit too we were discussing yesterday many many different issues and especially this morning in the fajr bayan The ayat of the Quran Sharif, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ To Allah Ta'ala belongs everything that is in the heavens and the earth. In other words, full qudrat, full power, full might, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has. He has absolute knowledge of everything. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the doer of all things. Anything that we see in the universe, Anything and everything that is in the heavens and the earth is all in the control of Allah Ta'ala. But then the important message that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives in that verse is after that, that those who are going to do evil, those who are going to indulge in sins, those who are going to indulge in vices, disobedience to Allah Ta'ala, then they will get their punishment for that. لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give them the punishment for their evil actions and deeds. وَيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى And those who do good deeds, those who are from the muhsineen, the doers of good, Allah Ta'ala will give them the best of rewards. He will give them ahsan reward. In the first place, our actions, we all know what they are. But Allah Ta'ala is saying that He will give ahsan. But what is the condition there again? أَلَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ إِلَّا اللَّمَمِ I'm repeating some of the things which I mentioned this morning, but it just came to my mind that I must repeat. And especially because you are in i'tikaf, therefore it's very relevant. As we, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that they abstain from the major sins. Major sins they abstain from. If you want that ahsan reward, then from major sins they abstain. There is no question of a Muslim indulging in major sins deliberately. Major sins is out of the question. A Muslim will never ever purposely, deliberately, willfully engage in major sins. Yes, accidentally he can get caught up with a major sin. But if you see in a Muslim's lifestyle major sins and is persistent, there is no sign of the tawbah in that person's life. Because a person can be committing the same sin many times, the same sin he commits many times, but we will not call him persistent if after having committed it the first time, he was truly ashamed, he really regretted, he expressed great remorse, he shed tears of repentance before Allah Ta'ala, he made up his mind he will never ever return to it, and then he got caught up again. So then he is not persistent. But I am talking about the person who has no intention of giving up those sins. Or at the time of Tawbah also it's a no commitment kind of thing. So then that person is persistent. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ And specifically mentions indecent acts. Anything that is indecent, shameless. Shariat considers it as indecent. Then no matter how much the society considers it as an acceptable norm, at present we are going by the society's norms. What the society tells us is the norm, then we go by that, irrespective of how indecent it may be in the eye of Allah Ta'ala. And I gave those examples this morning about the TV and all movies and all those things. But the fact is that we are just accepting the norms of society. No more we are prepared to find out from our Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that what is decent and what is indecent. Because there are many, many things that the society has accepted as decent. In fact, the person who behaves decently according to Sharia, now he becomes an indecent person. He becomes a person that is abnormal. In that society, he is an abnormal person. That Hadith Sharif, that a time will come when it will be like holding burning coal in the hand for the person to practice. It will be like the person to protect his iman. If the person is going to make amal, it is going to be like holding coal in his hand. But then the rewards are also going to be so great at that time, when the fitnas are going to be at an increased level, then one person, his amal, he will get the sawab of 50 sahaba ikram. 50 sahaba ikram's rewards. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will multiply those rewards also. Why? Because the fitnas are extensive. More the fitnas, the more the sawab. At that time when a person restrains himself. So they restrain themselves from all that which is what we term as major sins and indecent acts. Yes, they do get caught up now and again with minor sins. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, the illa lama. So those minor sins, they will get caught up with it, but then Allah ta'ala has kept so many things for the forgiveness of those minor sins. The person is making wuzu, his minor sins are forgiven. The person makes salam with a Muslim brother, smilingly, cheerfully, talks to him, his sins fall off. The person does some charitable act, his sins fall off. The person reads certain tasbihat, his sins are wiped out. The person makes istighfar, his sins are wiped out. So many different things Allah Ta'ala has given for the wiping out of minor sins. But they again, the person must not become persistent on those minor sins, because then it becomes major sin. Now all these things I discussed this morning. But now the last part of that, where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala talks about His knowledge. Allah Ta'ala says that His knowledge, from the time that He created Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam out of earth, Allah Ta'ala has the full and the absolute knowledge of everything that man has been doing from that day one up till now, and up till the day of Qiyamah, and forever and ever. The total knowledge Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has of every human being. I'm giving you an explanation. Every human being, Allah Ta'ala has the total knowledge. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows each one very, very well. وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. When you were fetuses in the wombs of your mothers, that time to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had the full knowledge of what this person is going to do. When he will come into this world using his willpower, because we are blamed on account of the willpower that Allah ta'ala has given to us. If there was no willpower, we wouldn't have been blamed. Allah ta'ala has given us the himmat, He has given us the courage, He has given us the opportunity to do that which is good. Now that person cannot say that I was forced to do it. I was majboor. Those people who believe in that, that everything they are forced to do, then those people, when they steal, they must go and steal and then say, we were forced to steal. When the judge asks him, why did you steal? He said, no, you see, because we believe it is our aqeedah that we are forced to steal. When he commits murder, he must say, well, you see, it's our aqeedah that you are forced to commit murder. Because we believe that Allah Ta'ala controls destiny, so now that is our belief, so therefore I murder. Will any judge accept that? So Allah Ta'ala has given us a willpower. We always say that if there's a knife, you can cut onions and potatoes with that knife, and you can also stab somebody with that knife. And if everything is happening with the will of Allah Ta'ala as it is happening, so then a person will put all the blame of his sins also on Allah Ta'ala. Now then, what was the need for Allah Ta'ala to send the Nabis to reveal the Quran Sharif and to send the sulaha and the ulama and the mashayikh to guide and direct. There was no need for all that. Every person, let him do whatever he wants and he'll go to Jahannam or Jannat. But it's not that. The thing is that Allah Ta'ala has given us a willpower. Allah Ta'ala has recorded that, he has his knowledge, so he has recorded it, that this person, he will use his willpower in certain days, certain times, certain place, he will do this or do that. But he doesn't force the person that you must do that. So he must use his willpower and abstain. So Allah Ta'ala says that he has got complete knowledge. Even when you were in the fetuses, as fetuses in your mother's stomachs, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he was a'lam. So if he was alam, then what? فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Now this is where now this i'tikaf and our Ramadan and our tasbihat and our zikr and our tilawat and our ibadat comes in. And that is the point which came to my mind at the time of Zuhur, that I must repeat this whole thing, ayat. That we who sit in i'tikaf, or those who are sitting around the world in i'tikaf, then i'tikaf has got a kind of status. People look at those who are in i'tikaf as Allah walas. Even though that person may be a sinful person, he may be indulging in major sins and minor sins, but to the outside world, this person is sitting in i'tikaf, meaning that he has cut himself off from all the outside influences and he has thrown himself at the door of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and that he has got some kind of piety, some kind of taqwa, he has got some kind of connection with Allah Ta'ala and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Therefore he is sitting in i'tikaf. So the people outside look at those inside as holy people. Whether we like it or not, and whether we consider ourselves or not, but the thing is, the outside people, that is what they look at. So you know that person, he sat down in i'tikaf. You know that person, young person, but he's sitting in i'tikaf. So there is a kind of an awe that the person is sitting in i'tikaf. 10 days and 10 nights, the person will not leave the boundaries of the masjid. He won't step outside even. One step he's not going to take outside. As I mentioned the other day, that if the person has to step outside, one step only he takes outside the masjid, then what sin did he commit? Outside the masjid, one step only he takes, which sin did he commit? Did he play tabla, dolak, sarangi there? Did he commit adultery, fornication? Did he steal? Did he do anything so sinful that all the jurists declare that person's sunnat i'tikaf null and void, that he went outside the boundary and he spoke for a few minutes to some friend and he came back? Now they say his i'tikaf is null and void. So ab isme kaun sa itna bada jurm ho gaya? Just one step outside and spoke for a few minutes and came back inside and he said i'tikaf went null and void. So what is the lesson in there? The lesson is there that you have committed yourself, you have submitted yourself, you have declared yourself to be a mu'takif, you are making i'tikaf. So now all the rules and regulations of i'tikaf will be binding upon you. Nobody forced you to make i'tikaf. Nobody said that it is a must that you have to make i'tikaf. You took it upon yourself that I want to make i'tikaf for the sake of the rewards that are promised to those who make i'tikaf. Great, great rewards which are in the Hadith Sharif. So the person desired that I too should get those rewards. So he made it lazim, compulsory upon himself. He made the niyat of i'tikaf and he sat down. So when you bind yourself with the i'tikaf, then all the masail of i'tikaf will now be applicable. So if the person now goes outside and discusses something or little while to evade, steps outside the masjid without real need to go out, for example, he's going to the toilet or he's going for wuzu or something else, that's acceptable. So now this person here, he is indicating by his action that I haven't submitted myself fully. That is what he's indicating. His action is indicating that he is using his own intellect that what wrong am I doing if I go outside for a little while, which sin did I commit, that my etikaf is null and void. So he's using his intellect. Now he's not submitting himself to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's hukam. So this etikaf was for that purpose, that the person trains himself to submit to all the orders of Allah ta'ala permanently in his life. When he is taking upon himself, just like in fasting, but in fasting it is first to stay away from food, drink, carnal passions. It is first from dawn to sunset. But when it comes to etikaf, it wasn't first. But just as in fasting, now this person was abstaining from all the halal things also, because it was the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. So he is multiplying that disciplining of his. He was disciplining himself by means of fasting. But now by means of etikaf in the last 10 nights, he is increasing that disciplining. That means he is boosting it by means of this etikaf. That see, in this etikaf now I am restricted to this masjid area. I am not going outside. I am not indulging in those things that are permissible for other people outside who are not in etikaf. So how much of training there is that is being given? So when that is the case, so what happens is that sometimes that little pride comes in us too, that I am sitting in etikaf. I read so much of Quran Sharif in etikaf. I made so much of tasbihat in etikaf. I made so much of du'as in etikaf. I made so much of ibadat whilst I was in etikaf. I made khidmat of the other people that were in etikaf. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't attribute piety to yourselves. Everywhere Allah ta'ala makes us keep that check and balance, that our hearts must not become inflated, our egos must not become inflated, pride must not enter our hearts, that now we are more pious, more righteous, more holier than everybody else that is outside. Of course, it's not, this ayat is not only for the people in etikaf, it is for everybody, whether they're in etikaf or not in etikaf, that we must not attribute piety to ourselves. Just because of that little ibadat, little zikr, little tilawat that we have done, we must not start bragging. Fakhr must not come into us. Fakhr. Many times you have heard that in pride, the Urdu word fakhr, fa, fe, kha and ra. So there is khar, and the meaning in Arabic of khar is donkey. So when the person gets pride, he becomes a donkey. But again, that person must... I get so many letters and people saying that pride coming into my heart, pride coming into my heart. So say, what is pride? Is pride so cheap that it just goes and attaches itself to everybody's hearts? And then every person, if he's going to say that pride has come into his heart, then it's going to cause him a great amount of problems. So what is the test, or what should we do if we begin to think that pride has entered our hearts, or pride is entering our hearts because of the ibadat, zikr, tilawat, whatever we do, charities and all that. Now pride is coming, that I am now somebody, Mr. Somebody, I am holier than somebody else. Then at that time, immediately, of course for us, we are not of those holy, pious, righteous ones, that we don't have any sins that we can look at. All of us, we can immediately just look into our hearts, that how much of sins we have committed. It is Allah Ta'ala's fazal that He is concealing that from the people. And who gave us the tawfiq of doing that ibadat? Who blessed us with that tawfiq of sitting in etikaf, of making ibadat, zikr, tilawat? Who gave us that tawfiq? Who gave us the sight with which we saw the Quran Sharif and we recited? And if we are hafizes of the Quran Sharif, who gave us that memory? How many people are taking medication, they're going to Taweez Walas and they're doing everything, they say, Allah, memory has failed completely, can't remember anything. So many people. One stroke and the person's memory is gone. So many hafizes of the Quran Sharif have completely forgotten the Quran Sharif with a stroke. It's not that, of course, they'll get any sin, because it wasn't in their control. But the thing is, they completely forget, memory loss. So much so that sometimes they don't even remember their own names. Go and see and visit some people who have had stroke and the brain is damaged. There are different degrees of strokes. So in some cases, the person doesn't remember anything for many days until recovery. The person doesn't even remember his name. So in whose control is our memory? So that Allah Ta'ala who gave us the memory, that Allah Ta'ala who gave us our sight, our hearing, our speech and every faculty of ours, then everything is borrowed from Him, then how can we get pride in our heart that I am somebody? So the person must do what? He must increase his shukr. And when he's going to increase his shukr, so he'll become closer to Allah Ta'ala. And it'll distance him from pride. After that, still if there's just some thought of pride, then that is like the fly that is sitting outside the mirror. But when a person looks at that fly, it seems like it's sitting inside the mirror. But it is outside. So that is just a waswasa of pride. And don't worry about that. Ignore it completely. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't attribute tazkiya of your qalb to yourself. Mera dil to bahut paak ho gaya hai. Bahut Allah wala main ban gaya hoon. Apna tazkiya mat bayan karo. Tazkiya farz hai. It is farz to make tazkiya. To make tazkiya is farz. To purify the soul. But to attribute it to oneself that I have got a purified soul, that is not permissible. For we must look at our ibadat on which we are basing our taqwa and piety and tazkiyah. Look at our ibadat. How much of deficiency, how much of weakness, how much of negligence there is. Are we really doing justice to our ibadat? When we're reading the Quran Sharif, is it recited in the manner that is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala? And is all our ibadat done for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure in the first place? If it is done for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, then look at the quality of that ibadat. So how can we claim that we are very pious, very righteous, very holy? So that is the purpose of this little majlis that we have now. That whilst we are in i'tikaf, or even those who are not in i'tikaf, in this month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala blesses with some increased ibadat. The person does many things that he doesn't do outside Ramadan. Most Muslims of an average level of iman, they increase their ibadat to some extent in Ramadan. So increase it, but keep on making istighfar, keep on making tawbah. Don't think that now we have reached a stage where we are beyond reproach. That now we have reached such a stage that nobody in this world has reached that stage. The more humility we will show, the more we will humble ourselves before Allah Ta'ala, the more Allah Ta'ala will give us elevation. Man tawada'a lillah, that tawazu must be for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will rafa'ahu Allah. By way of shukr, if a person has to make shukr of Allah Ta'ala and say, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's fazal and ihsan, He gave me the tawfiq to make the hajjud every night, to engage in plenty of ibadat, zikr, tilawat. I stayed away from all sins in the month of Ramadan, and outside Ramadan also I make maximum effort. By way of shukr, the person says, or for the purpose of islah, if he has to inform his shaykh, then that is not objectionable. But we who are in the early stages, there too we must keep checking that why are we in relating whatever we are relating. I will conclude on what I said yesterday or the other day, that if a person makes ibadat, zikr, tilawat, whatever it is, if he makes it for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then there's great rewards. And if he is doing it for show, if he is doing it for name, for fame, then it is riya and show, on which there is great warning. Allah Ta'ala's azab is promised for those people, and they get no reward for that show business. Nothing. So I explained that if a person has one or two counterfeit coins, then he may get away with it. Or a few counterfeit notes, he will get away with it. But if he has plentiful of counterfeit notes, plentiful, thousands of million, a million rand in counterfeit notes, or more than that, then the more he has, the more quicker he will land himself in jail, and he's going to suffer the punishment. Because he will get caught, he got plentiful of counterfeit notes. So the more the punishment, because he's got more. And that person who had one or two, he can still get away. He can say, well, look, I went to the bazaar supermarket somewhere and somebody gave me one counterfeit note, what must I do? He can speak a lie and get away. But that person who has got a stack of it in his home, so he can't say that somebody gave me in the supermarket. So he will get caught and he will suffer more punishment. So like that, that person who now and again made some show business and some riya in his amal, in his zikr, in his tilawat, in his ibadat, then he make a little bit of tawbah, istighfar, and get away with it. But the person who is piling upon himself more and more and more, so he is thinking that he is increasing his good deeds. In the meantime, what he is doing is piling up counterfeit notes. All counterfeit, nothing. And that is why Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, when he used to report that hadith of that shaheed and of that alim, and of the generous person, that they were doing it for show. So on Qiyamah Day, that lengthy hadith, he used to fall down unconscious. And get up again. Again he was trying to relate, he fell down unconscious. Got up again, trying to relate, he falls down unconscious. And then he related the hadith. So much fear came into him. And yet they were sahabas of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Ta'ala had declared, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. So make a lot of shukr to Allah Ta'ala for giving tawfiq of i'tikaf, of zikr, of tilawat, of ibadat, of dua. And ask Allah Ta'ala for protection from riya, from show, and from pride, from arrogance, or attributing to ourselves piety and taqwa, that we have reached some high levels and stages. Consider ourselves as insignificant servants of Allah Ta'ala. And truly believe in that also. It must not be lip service. We must believe that we are insignificant. What are we? Yes, Allah Ta'ala then puts good opinion into somebody's heart. Then make shukr, because that's a ni'mat again. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. One of the tafsirs of fid dunya hasana, goodness in this world, is the sana of khalq. The praises, the good opinions that Allah Ta'ala puts into hearts of people, that is a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. It's hasana fi dunya. So on that again make shukr. May Allah Ta'ala give you ikhlas, give me ikhlas in every ibadat, zikr, tilawat, dua, whatever we make. May Allah Ta'ala give us sincerity. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawazu in our lives, humility. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protect us from all haram, from all sins, whether major or minor, and from everything that is indecent and shameless. May Allah Ta'ala give us a life of purity, a life that is pure and pure, hearts which are musaffa, mujalla, muzakka, hearts which can receive the tajalli of Allah Ta'ala, hearts in which the anwarat, the noor and the light of the month of Ramadan, and the noor of the Quran Sharif, and the noor of zikr, and the noor of ibadat, hearts that can receive that noor, that light up. The person senses something has come into the heart. The hearts don't remain void and empty. The hearts don't remain in darkness. It's only in the heart that Allah Ta'ala's tajalli can come. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim.
اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا مولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.